Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hi, I'm Kevin Keegan, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Gentlemen, welcome to the first World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller. Luke Moore is here.
Vindaloo.
Jimmy Campbell is here.
Ah, and Petey Donaldson.
Vuvuzela.
Get on the roller coaster. The fair's in town today, gentlemen.
Lovely.
We are so close. We are so very, very close to that first round draw of the Carabao Cup on Friday in Ho Chi Minh in Vietnam. We will be finding out who West Brom, among others, will be playing in that first round of the Carabao Cup next season. But before then, the start of the World Cup will happen.
Fine. We'll get through this. We'll get through the entree that is the World Cup.
Let's get it out of the way. Yeah. Come on, let's get out of the way.
I know, for a minute on Friday, I thought I'd be anticipating Spain versus Portugal.
Nah.
A bigger event has rolled into town. Yeah. Into that Ho Chi Minh City.
We've been waiting 4 years for this.
Bloody Nora. Yeah.
Can you still remember now, the end of World Cup 2014?
I can. Mario Götze, who's not involved this time.
Nope. Because football's a cruel mistress.
Indeed it is. Yogi Löw saying to him, go out there, show you're better than Messi. Mm. And for a moment he did. But then the next 4 years, it's clearly been a one-way street. But who has a World Cup winner's medal and who doesn't?
Yeah, that's the question. Who does?
Maradona thinks got one.
Mm. Yeah. In a month's time or so, will we be talking about some England players having a World Cup medal because maybe some of the German players have let them hold them?
I was going to say.
There you go. You have a look at
how
that one.
How dare you?
I'll beat them with them.
Yeah. How dare you subtly accuse them of being potential thieves in the future? Yeah. Damn you, Luke Moore.
We've had them in the past.
Well,
World Cup winners, Stephen stuff. At least been accused of it.
Yeah. Didn't happen, though. Let's be fair.
God rest him.
Not in the World Cup. I'm not having that in the World Cup.
Get out. Right, I'm not in any of the World Cup shows. Goodbye, everybody.
Do you want to go out as well?
The World Cup itself has been stolen in the past.
It has.
And recovered by a dog.
In England.
Mm. In England, yeah.
We're quite thievy when it comes to the World Cup.
Apparently we are.
Well, hopefully we can steal this one and the hearts and minds of the world's public.
I would love that. Imagine if England just cheated their way to the final. Well, I'd be all over that.
Speaking of stealing the hearts and minds, I mean, for the first time since I can remember, I mean, I know it's tempting to think as an English football fan that all the other nations hate us anyway, but put that to one side, we have got quite an exciting young dark horses type feel about us that other teams fans might enjoy watching.
What I like is that there's no expectation, therefore I think we will do well.
I'm thinking back to all of us talking about how we were going to become like this and... Yeah, we were bemoaning it.
Have you learned?
No, I'm on board.
Yeah,
I'm taking the blue pill and the red pill.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Over the last week, it slowly, involuntarily, just ramped up in my mind. And I think 4 years out, 4 years ago, sorry, I can't remember. People will probably be able to listen back to our older shows and say, "Oh yeah, you were excited and you were thinking England were going to do well." But I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think anyone in this room at the moment now. Was saying that when England go to Brazil, we've got a good chance of winning it in Brazil.
I don't think,
But
I'm happy for someone to tell us otherwise, if that is the case, but I'm pretty sure. I remember in
2000... This time around, just let me finish the point, Marcus. This time around, England are bloody dark horses, and I'll not have anything against it.
What are you doing? I vividly remember, because we've covered three World Cups since doing this bloody podcast. 2010 was the first one, of course. Sorry, this will be the third World Cup that we'll have covered. In 2010, I remember vividly, just on the eve of the tournament, Luke, because Capello was in charge, and at the time we thought that was a good thing, and hindsight is a beautiful thing, of course. And you were saying, you know what, England, and I thought, I looked at the team and just ahead of the World Cup, and you thought, I quite fancy us. Yeah, is what your precise words.
It always happens, though, isn't it? I mean, this time around, I'm going, look, if every team plays a really high line around about the midfield sort of area, we can get in behind them, and we can basically outpace them.
If their line is,
we're probably one of the quickest teams in the tournament, so
and one of the youngest. And it's so funny the hindsight thing, because you talk about me saying I quite fancy us. At that time, according to Rob Green, who gave an interview the other day,
they were all fat.
He said the mood in the camp was so bad because all we ever got told, the manager didn't speak to us, and all we did got. They did get told when he did speak to us was that we were all too fat. At the same time that was happening, I was sat here saying, I think England got a chance.
It's annoying, isn't it, when you hear these things and you think, we never had a chance.
There was a tantalising picture of Gareth Southgate getting off the plane, and the FA posted the picture of them all getting off the plane, sort of saying, we're here, we're about to touch down. And Gareth Southgate's foot is about 3 inches off the floor on the runway in Russia.
What do you think of Russia?
It just looks like it just looks like he's about to roll his ankle. It's tantalising.
No,
just like that.
I thought you were
going to
say no. I thought you were going to say look like Neil Armstrong.
Luke was a conqueror.
Luke
was about to come out with something a bit knobbish.
No, I was going to say Pete's got a phobia of rolling ankles.
Yeah,
he talks a lot about how his ankles.
I did it a little bit of the weekend. Agony.
Did you?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to talk about the England physio doing his.
Oh, that was class.
No, it wasn't.
So funny.
Dr. Heal Thyself.
Let me be honest. Look, this isn't the time for me to be settling old scores, but very, very quickly.
What this whole podcast about.
Can I just say, when Gary Lewin hurt his ankle, I didn't know how bad the injury was at the time. So I thought it was funny. And what's happened is, I found out afterwards how bad it was, and... because I'm a certain type of man, I've just doubled down on it.
Yeah.
And it's still haunting me now.
Oh,
But anyway, Gary Lewin will be amongst it, I think. I think he's still the physio.
Of course he is. Of course he is. Hands up, who thinks England are going to win?
I think we... Well, listen.
It's not an audio feature, therefore that's why I did that.
I think we can win.
Yeah?
No, well, I don't think we can win, actually.
No. You know what, though? That is the thing, actually, this time. But not just this time. I didn't think in 2010 we'd win. Everyone in the country is just going... A quarterfinal would be bloody lovely.
It would.
Go down fighting in a quarterfinal.
Well, that's it. It's more about going down fighting in general, isn't it? And like the spirit in this group does seem really good, as we've touched on. I think Southgate has managed them so well in picking the group early. I read something over the weekend. I think it was possibly Frank Lampard saying that in the past, when the players that haven't made the cut leave, that has a really damaging effect on the rest of the squad, because, you know, sometimes it's their mates in there, and there's just a little bit of a sadness in it. So it is a little bit of a negative when actually what you need at the time is a positive. So a lot of those little things, you can tell his experience of playing for those England teams when they've, you know, been as good as we've seen them in our lifetimes, really, if you put Euro 96 in.
And it's not just the experience that Gareth Southgate has had, it's the intelligence he's got to implement that experience, to understand what works and what doesn't. Because it's all very well having experiences, but if you go through your life not learning or listening or applying any of those experiences to your future life, it doesn't mean anything.
You're saying Diego Maradona didn't use his experiences wisely when coaching Argentina in 2010?
No, I'm not. I enjoyed him in
2010. No, he did. His experience just happened to be inexplicably successful, given his lifestyle.
And here's my problem. I followed every single England player that's on social media on Instagram, and they're having a bloody lovely time.
Yeah, that does look the case, doesn't
Sam,
it?
Sam, the cameraman, keeps sending me Instagram stories like Jesse Lingard having a lovely one, and I'm on board. I'm
very
on board.
He's sliding the DMs.
Sliding right into my DMs, he is. He's insatiable.
The mood in the camp does look very good, the way they've handled the media when all the players were together, sat in that sort of circle or whatever, when all the players were available for the media to chat to. I don't know if you saw that.
The first time for a long time that's happened.
It is. And it shows it's sort of a togetherness as well. And you're right, Jim, when you were talking about, I think it was Lampard who said, you know, when certain players go home. But you do need a few extra players in case of an injury. And he had a standby list so everybody knew where they stood. And Adam Lallana, who would have been a bit gutted to miss out, and I think he would have gone had he have played more minutes. Yeah. He was a bit injured. I mean, you know, considering his season, you know, he did actually appear in a Champions League final, which would have been probably something he might not have thought would have happened. But he'd only played sort of three games or whatever it was. And he said,
rolled around the floor. He did, in it.
Don't have a go at Lallana.
Sorry, I'm just saying.
Don't have a go at ankles. Ankles, isn't it?
But he said that even he was full of praise of Southgate and understood why Southgate didn't pick him, and said he's been with me through the whole injury process and checking up and so on. So there's a player who would have been disappointed to miss out who's still praising him.
Sure.
Compare that to the aforementioned Fabio Capello, who apparently when Rio Ferdinand picked up an injury just before the tournament started, which was of course a big injury for England, when he went to the hospital or the doctors or whatever, got checked out and came back into where England was staying, Capello was playing tennis and just carried on and finished his game and didn't even bother seeing how he was. And
I love that.
And all this kind of stuff.
Just doesn't give a shit.
In his
little speedos.
In his speedos.
Also, another example, to go back to your Lallana point, is that when Jack Wilshere missed out on the squad, he took it very well.
Mm. Well, yeah.
Him and your heart.
Yeah, but I mean, certain people will never be happy.
No, they won't. Yeah. But Marcus, Harry Kane's been coming out with some big talk.
Harry Kane has been coming
in his
out
capacity
with some big
as captain.
He said England have been passive and were focused too much on avoiding defeat in previous tournaments. He says this is time that they aim to be aggressive and brave in possession. And Southgate said that he wants his side to entertain the masses.
These are all the right words, aren't they? But I think you could argue that England have entertained the masses in the past.
Oh, we have, yeah.
Not our own masses.
Everyone hates us and wants us to see.
Just not the masses in England.
Yeah, not the English masses. They're all the right words, aren't they? We've all wanted that for a long time, but let's hope they can actually do it.
We're tired of being a bottom. Let's be a top.
Yeah.
Right.
And I also,
let's be a dom.
I think because we've got these two games to start with, and we don't want to get into a situation, especially with England's recent record in tournaments, where
we need to get something out of the Belgian game.
Well, not only that, I was just going to say where we almost arrogantly overlook Tunisia and Panama because they're there on merit.
Yep.
They deserve to be there, and they've obviously got some good players, and that's why they've qualified. But England have a chance here to apply themselves properly. I'm reminded of something Jim used to say about Arsenal, where football is something that happens to them. And England have been like that in international tournaments. Football's happened to them. England can get on the front foot here, be aggressive, show a bit of assertiveness. And maybe what's wrong with beating maybe Panama in the second game, two or three
or 3-0, something like that. And what they can also do, I think, if they have a good positive result in the Tunisia game, and I know you want to talk about the starting lineup, Marcus, if they have a good positive result in the Tunisia game, perhaps they can bring a couple of other players into the Panama game. Mm. Because you don't want to have to get into a situation where through one thing or another, you're chucking Alexander-Arnold in for his tournament debut against Belgium, for example, because you've got another choice. Now, I know Alexander-Arnold has stepped up to every challenge so far in his career, but it's a big ask and maybe one you'd want to avoid at this point. So they need to start hit the ground running on Monday night and get cracking and really show people what they're all about, because the second round game, if we get that far, which I hope we do, looks fairly manageable, but even more manageable if Colombia win the group and we win our group, because Colombia will be the most dangerous in that group.
But it is a situation where everybody in our group is going to beat, possibly hammer Panama. So history would teach us that the first match is always the most underwhelming performance. You know, what we saw in previous tournaments against Russia, against the USA, things like that. I don't think we're going to see England at full speed in their first football match, just simply because that never happens.
No.
But I still think they've got enough to get past.
If they don't hit the ground running in their first game, well, I'm not doing any more of these shows.
No. if Harry Kane's words come to fruition and if they can actually act on that and they do beat Tunisia like 3-0, I don't think I'll make the final. I have so many separate...
You're not in the squad.
I didn't.
Well, if Harry Kane does indeed practice what he preaches... he is 16-1 with Bet365 to be top scorer at this year's World Cup. So £10 will return, £170 including stake, if he repeats Gary Lineker's efforts of 1986.
Mm. That's a crafty one.
There we go. Just chuck it in
there.
I
quite like that. I think the Tunisia game is such a... it's a tricky one, because Tunisia are perhaps better than some people would think, certainly looking at the rankings and so on. Mm. They're quite, without kind of sounding... slightly patronising, they're quite a sort of dogged opponent, if you know what I mean, in the sense that they're quite strong, they know what they're doing. And
they've lost a key player to an ACL, though.
Yeah, they have. I think get a win. Obviously get a win, but it's kind of, all this kind of talk, it would be nice to get the performance, but
No. I'm going to stop you there. 10 minutes into the game, if it's awful, and we're all going, oh God, it's going to be this again, this sort of talk is fine. No, Marcus. we're going to be just... blitzing them.
Yeah, I know, Jim, but I've tried to learn from history. As Pete pointed out, it often is quite underwhelming.
But I think the first game is the most important game out of the three, because, I mean, anything can happen against Belgium. Panama, we're expected to beat them. We probably will beat them as an England supporter. It's weird. We try and speak in the third person when I talk about Newcastle, I try not to say, the lads are us.
Yeah.
But with England, I think I can comfortably say, us.
Yeah, despite wearing an old Soviet Union shirt,
I am, yes, recall, I am.
Which is a delightful shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
Had it tailored.
That's why,
if I'm going to invest 60 quid in a shirt from the 70s, 80s, I'm going to...
I hugged you earlier and you're already really sweaty because of the material it's made out.
I know.
Yes.
The tailor probably thought, I've never tailored this type of fabric before.
Or Mr. Donaldson.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I was just going to say, just to follow up on what Pete said really quickly, so we don't want to mention the England fest because there's not been a game played yet, but I'm pleased we're not playing Belgium first, because I think, although we're an exciting team, we're a young team, and we could be, I don't know yet, but we could be quite fragile. Mm. And if we played Belgium first and got a decent beating, it might be difficult for us after that. The fixtures have fallen in the right way for us.
Yeah, it's not something that I saw necessarily in the final friendly match, but in previous friendlies and certainly in qualification. I think I've spoken about this before. We're a team that don't lose the ball quite as much as previous England outfits, and that is all you can ask for, really. Usually the best defence wins the World Cup, or certainly goes very deep into the tournament, and it's just
that won't be England
ball.
Then.
Well, it won't be England, but it just keeping hold of the ball and not making silly mistakes where you relinquish possession. It's just so important in the early stages, I think.
Yeah, when I get a little bit ahead of myself thinking about England, thinking, oh, do you know what, you know, quarterfinal, whatever, I do remind myself of the goalkeeper and the defence situation. And I think that will be... Because actually, I think going forward, England look all right. And in midfield, they seem to have quite a nice balance and the wing-backs are okay. But
I don't fear about the keeper in the slightest.
Do you not?
I just think,
look at his little face and I think that we will see tears produced from that man at some point.
No,
hopefully later in the tournament. Belgium's first opponents, of course, Panama, arrived wearing Panama hats.
Like it.
Made in Ecuador.
Yeah. Yes.
They didn't read the memo that everyone, the one fact that people talk about Panama
is. You think
is.
If anyone would know, it'd be them.
Yeah. I think they just got on board.
Have we got the Panama hats, boss? Yeah, just waiting for them to come in from Ecuador. they haven't even qualified.
I know, eh? The England players should have come out wearing kilts or something just to, you know, say, yeah. Well, we're all British, aren't we?
Doing it for our Scottish cousins.
Eden Hazard has predicted a Belgian-England final with Belgium winning it.
I mean, that's because he plays for Belgium and plays in England.
No, no. Yeah. Well, okay.
And also because he clearly appears to be not that intelligent.
Yeah, he clearly hasn't. That's the thing. But where do you? I mean, you said England would have a sort of a dark horse's feel, Luke. I sort of understand, although I'm reluctant to put them in that category. But for me, and I'm sure pretty much everybody else, to look past in terms of the big boys who could win it: Brazil, France, Spain, and Germany. The dark horse, can you call Argentina a dark horse? I mean, really, it's quite tricky. And Belgium, you don't really know. So do you still think England are in there?
Well, Argentina haven't won it for a long time. So you could
reach the final.
Yeah, but they haven't won it for a long time. Okay. So you could, I mean, you don't agree that you could categorise them as dark horses?
Well, no, I don't. I think they've got arguably the best player to ever play the game. They've been in Copa America finals recently. I think, you know. Yeah, they haven't won it.
But
in
do you
a long
think
time,
England but... dark horses? Do you think that's? I think that's a little bit too much.
No, I don't. It depends how you're defining a dark horse. I mean, like if Panama get out of the group, for example, and then
but they're a minnow. We're going to talk World Cup.
Minnow, yeah.
We're going to talk World Cup parlance. Let's talk. Yeah. They're minnows.
Yeah, they are minnows. Okay, so where do you have to get to be a dark horse?
I can't answer that, but I would say for me the dark horse is
an outside chance of winning it.
Yeah, but I would say more of a... Because you know in the World Cup, you tend to get a semi-final appearance.
Yeah.
You get a Turkey or a Bulgaria or a South Korea.
And England.
No, but that's a surprise.
But they are, in retrospect, they've proven to be dark horses. That's my point. Yeah, just to answer it as quickly as I can, England, Uruguay, Serbia, those types of teams I would say are dark horses.
Okay.
I would bracket England along those teams.
All right, okay.
Speaking of Eden Hazard, did you see the Costa Rica boss, Oscar Ramirez? He basically said, oh, the number 10 did a lot of damage to us. I don't know what his name is.
Did he? What, in the friendly?
That's Mourinho.
Number 10, so don't know who he is.
So dismissive, love that.
The boy with the blonde hair, I don't know his name.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Very Mourinho. Yeah. All right then, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we've talked a bit about England there. We're going to go round one or two other teams after this.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This is
a story. This is a real story.
What a story it was. Welcome back to the World Cup Ramble, the first one, of course. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, On the Continent will be out this week too. We are doing them throughout the World Cup. Not as frequent as the Football Ramble, but
doing
they will
them.
Be there.
we're
going to aim to do those every Wednesday. So yes. There should be one out fairly soon with Marcus and myself and James Horncastle, and one or two surprises from some people on the ground in Russia as well.
Ooh, why is James Horncastle still in England? I thought he'd be...
Oh, because he can't get booked, yeah. Can't get booked.
No, I'm just saying because it...
I'm
basically doing the same joke that you do literally every week, and every time you do it, it makes me cringe because James Horncastle dies a little bit more inside.
Yeah, well, it's fine. I'm
that. Stop trying to kill James Horncastle.
We famously named an On the Continent episode the one after Italy failed to qualify with Italy hit Horncastle in the pocket. That's the level of sympathy I've got for the man.
Absolutely.
I
right.
just think he's going to be lonely because all of his friends are journalists and he's going to be alone.
That's why we're not inviting him in. We're only doing it for him.
Yeah, also,
give him
Pete,
a bit of company.
We're not clever boys, though, are we?
The joke might be on you because Italy are slow starters. So they might still be there.
They might finish ahead of England at the tournament. Yeah. Who knows? Let's go to Group A. Russia and Saudi Arabia will no doubt get us off to a blistering start.
It's such a stinking first day.
Yeah, it really is.
Can I just say, it's a little bit of a stinker, right? Marcus has been a bit... Marcus had a bit of a hashtag dig there.
Been a bit naughty there.
Oh, Russia and Saudi Arabia will get us off to a blistering start, no doubt.
What?
Where's your enthusiasm?
No, that isn't... I'm trying to build it up.
Russia...
If I happen to sound sarcastic, then I apologise.
that sounded sarcastic.
Given the context of this fixture, given they're playing Saudi Arabia, it's even more amazing that Russia are the lowest ranked team.
Saudi Arabia are ranked three places above Russia, I think.
Incredible.
Russia are old and dreadful.
They are, aren't they? There's like, who's in there? Who's their star man? There sort of isn't one.
Big Vlad.
Yeah, Dzhigoyev, maybe?
Like, yes. they keep on changing their formation because they're not really sure what to do, basically.
Yeah,
it's going to be a very difficult tournament. And let's just hope the excitement of having a tournament in the country will sort of see the people through, because it's just upsetting.
We talk about Fabio Capello in the England chat and how his legacy is the different types of accommodation now England go for, the non-prison approach. Yeah. Well, Capello's legacy with Russia is that he was given the task a few years ago to try and build a team for the tournament. And after a couple of years and an awful lot of pounds spent on the man, they realised this is not happening and they got rid of him. Yeah. So this is Capello's fault.
Capello treated the sort of latter stage of his managerial career as just a lovely old time. I'll do whatever I want.
And it's such a shame.
And I'll just take as much money as I can.
One of the greatest managers in modern football completely ruined his legacy at international football.
Just sort of like a sort of world retirement tour.
Yeah.
So is it a bit like Sven?
No, it wasn't. It's worse
than
Sven.
That's more boobles than rubles.
Old Sven. Did you see... we're done with England. We're done with England.
Let's get out of here.
But yes...
You're never done with England, Marcus.
True enough. Vladimir Putin, attention please, said recently, "We very much expect the team to play with dignity, for them to show modern, interesting football and to fight until the end."
Yeah. Sounds like a threat.
Someone's not a football fan.
Yeah, and
he's very much not into football.
That is correct. The manager, Stanislav Chersichov. Chersichov. Said after the 1-1 draw with Turkey, "I'm not a therapist able to reassure anyone." And that isn't reassuring in the slightest.
We've said this before, in the show later, at the back end of last season, that we all want the host nation to do well, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Saudi Arabia have got quite a canny Italian manager, haven't they?
He's not Italian.
Spanish.
Born in Argentina, but played for Spain.
That's right, okay. Pizzi, isn't it?
Yes.
And we're going to try and hear a bit more about him and maybe on the continent and see whether Saudi Arabia can surprise a few people. But it doesn't look great when you... I don't know if this has ever happened before. The host nation is the lowest ranked team in the tournament. Mm-hmm. And, of course, South Korea back in 2002... may have had a bit of help from the officials.
But they still played some great stuff.
And
they played some great injury time.
Yeah, that's exactly my point. They played some good stuff and they had some good players. I hope Russia surprised a few people because the people in Russia will be really excited for the World Cup.
Of course.
They've known they're going to have it for a long time. Mm. We want them to get behind their team. Of course, if Russia go out early, there's been talk that a lot of them will be supporting Brazil, which you'd expect, and one or two other countries. But ultimately, we want the host nation to go through. I mean, if they win their group, Russia, they might play Portugal, and that'll be all right.
Well, Tom,
so it's very difficult. It's a very difficult path for them, isn't it?
Tom sent us an email in basically saying that it won't surprise you to know that every single player in the England squad currently play their trade in the English
Premier League.
Of course.
Yeah.
We've got no players who play abroad. Russia are second, and they've got two out of 23 players playing abroad. The ones that have everyone playing abroad: Belgium, 22 out of 23.
Wow.
Sweden, 23 out of 23. And Senegal, obviously, 23 out of 23 playing abroad. So thank you for that, Tom.
But yeah. Saudi Arabia, I think, have got 3 out of their 23.
Right.
So Russia and Saudi Arabia would be very much homegrown talent.
But isn't one of theirs the third choice goalkeeper Russia, and he's not expected to play because Akinfeev will play.
Yeah. So actually, I think it's Denis Cheres.
And that's the outfield player. He plays for Villarreal.
Yeah, he's the one who's plays abroad, of course.
That's right. Yeah.
But there are players in the Russian squad that have played abroad before, like Zhirkov is.
Of course. Yeah,
I'm saying Russia. They all.
How is Zhirkov still around? I mean, they've got. That's the thing. They've got an aging side. Haven't they? A lot of their defenders are quite old.
They have
as well.
Called up some sort of emergency.
Old people?
Yeah.
When you pull a cord on the old people's home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Old people don't appear when that happens.
No. Well, they should do. Maybe they do in Russia.
I know. Well, in the group, Egypt face Uruguay in their opening match, of course. Mo Salah, will he be fit, etc. and so on. But Uruguay look interesting. They do look interesting for me. On paper, they should top the group.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
They look good. But if you look at the side, they do have a nice core about them. Muslera in goal, a lot of experience. Of course, he's been there a while. The defenders. A canny Uruguayan defender. Is there a more wonderful thing in international
football?
Is there
a more cynical sight? Yeah. we said that before to Jonathan Wilson, and he said that we were living in the 80s.
Well, I talked about the two brutish midfielders. And
I think it's a little bit childish of Jonathan to doubt that they've actually got some pretty cynical players, because they have.
Well, I said it's the midfield that I'm intrigued by how Uruguay will set up. Mm. We know how they'll set up at the back. It'll probably be Jimenez and Godin at the back, but they've got some other operators. Maxi Pereira is still there. Mm. I mean, if you're a winger, you don't want to come up against him because he'll kick the crap out of you.
Because you only come up against him once and then you won't play anymore.
But yeah, they're all wily operators at the back. You know, in the midfield, I think it was Rios. I think I mentioned this before on the show, but there was Rios and there was... I forget his name, the other chap. But they were just two hench brutes in the centre. Mm. But it worked for them. I mean,
the other Pereira in there? Alvaro Pereira in there?
Possibly.
Yeah, there was definitely two Pereiras last time.
Or maybe a Perez. Maybe it was a Perez. But it was certainly a very, very physical midfielder. Mm. And they would line up like that. And it worked. They won a Copa America not that long ago. Obviously, in the 2010 World Cup, they went very far. In the last World Cup, they were beaten by Colombia in the second round. But they got past a tough group with Italy and England, of course.
Yeah.
And I mean, how they beat England, you know, obviously England sort of
They just
imploded.
Completely outthought England. But they did. Much more streetwise.
But it really showed the difference, because England went into that game thinking, actually, on paper, we're the better side and blah, 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 blah. And it just showed you the footballing intelligence and cynicism, if you like, of that Uruguay side. But the midfield, as I say, is a slightly different look. You've got Lucas Torreira, who's only got a couple of caps, but I hope we see him play. Arsenal may well sign him. Yes, in the next, I don't know how long, or somebody will pinch him from underneath their noses, which is more like. But we've got Vecino, plays for Inter, he could feature.
Bentancur plays for Juve, he's an interesting player as well.
Yeah, so I'm quite intrigued. I don't know if Uruguay might be a little bit more creative. And of course, up front, I mean, crying out loud,
they've got goals in their
Suarez,
team, haven't they?
Even Stuani off the bench, or Maxi Gomez, has scored a lot of goals for Celta Vigo this season. Probably won't start, but we may see him.
Yeah, and Uruguay are 28-1 with Bet365 to lift the trophy this summer.
They?
So £10 will return £290, including stake. A textbook dark horse Uruguay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Well, if there is a surprise in Group B, where Spain, of course, are, then could Uruguay face Harvey Renard's Morocco in the last 16?
I think they could.
I think some people have forgotten that big Harvey's at the tournament.
I think people have forgotten his... bad he was as a club
sexy
manager.
Yeah,
how
correct.
Good he is.
Sexy.
And how
keep saying it.
And how comfortable he is in the national set.
In that
it's
shirt.
Really weird.
Yeah, it's great though, isn't it? I mean, he's had a great experience. He's had great experience and success.
Man knows how
level.
To win tournaments.
And I think if you look at and I'm sort of fishing for different angles here for Morocco, because I do think they're a good team. They're definitely great in the sum of their parts from what I've seen. You've got all this nonsense going on with Lopetegui at Spain. I mean, there's talk that he might not even be there for the World Cup because they're so annoyed. So they're in disarray.
We need like one of those. We need like an audio stab for nonsense. Yeah. When some nonsense appears.
Lopetegui has announced that he's going to be the manager of Real Madrid for next season.
Yeah.
And the Spanish FA have released a statement saying there was going to be a press conference today saying that he may not be the manager for the World Cup.
Yeah.
They're in disarray. Portugal.
And when you say they're in disarray, they are, but they're still Spain.
They're in disarray. Portugal. Portugal won the Euros in 2016. So and
European champions.
We've seen certain teams in the past, both at international and club level, find it hard to go again after they've won something. So there is an angle here for Morocco, who I think are a better team than people think.
I saw Morocco, Iran through the group.
I actually think it's...
Well, it was Uruguay and Costa Rica in 2014.
That's true,
remember?
Yeah. Absolutely. But I'm not having Spain in disarray is still way more organised than every other
still be England. Yeah.
They'll still get out the group.
I think it's actually quite a nice group, that one. I think that people might think that Portugal and Spain might breeze it, and they might.
What's the party group is Group H, though, isn't it? Japan, Senegal, Colombia, Poland.
Oh, beautiful. Lovely.
Beautiful.
Just, yeah, that's nice.
That's a lot of fun.
That is nice. Yeah,
hang on a minute. Breaking news. Julien Lepetegui has been sacked one day before the World Cup starts.
Come on.
There you go. Disarray!
Yeah!
There in disarray!
Oh, wow. Spain are doing a France.
Yes!
England have got a chip. No, yeah. Don't go that far.
They're on the other side of the draw. Doesn't matter.
England have got chips. Does anyone want some chips?
Reported by the BBC, the Spanish Football Federation have confirmed they have sacked Julien Lepetegui as manager just over 24 hours before the World Cup begins.
That's why we're recording in the afternoon.
Yeah.
That is mad.
That is insane.
Surely you've got to get someone in who's got World Cup experience, who knows how to take a team, and is called Sven-Goran Eriksson.
Imagine if they got Sven in.
Who are they going to get in?
It's got to be him, isn't it?
Zidane. They're getting Zidane
in. Imagine they got Zizou in.
Oh, imagine.
Oh,
from Champions League winner to World Cup winner. All he does is win.
Far be it for me to dampen the excitement, but they'll probably give it to the assistant. It's one day before the World Cup starts.
Piss off, Luke.
Yeah. Piss right off. What about Del Bosco? Get him back. What's he doing?
Get Pep in for the summer.
Being horrible.
Yeah. There we go, see?
Well, the fella, was it Camacho with the sweaty armpits?
Yeah.
2002.
It's great that it's not us having this to deal with, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, give it a couple more days.
Yeah, true.
My giddy aunt, I didn't expect that. So, yes.
Whoa.
Harvey Renard, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to look forward to him. Morocco.
Is he got the Spanish joke?
Morocco.
We hear about Spain.
No.
Losing their minds in the tournament. Remember Harvey Renard? Yeah. Oi, remember him?
What I'm saying is, and go back to Luke's theory, Morocco aren't struggling to find who's going to lead them into battle. It's big Harvey.
His shirt is. His muscle fit shirt.
White shirt?
Struggling.
White shirt untucked? Is that what we were thinking?
Yeah, massively.
Yeah.
Big time. Like classic, Taylor as Pete with his Soviet shirt.
New classic mum's new boyfriend look.
Like big
muscle tee, muscle shirt, yeah. No vest, rippling muscles, massive tan, mullet, yeah. Love it.
He looks like a character from a sort of very, very old kind of colonial comic book.
Mills and Boone.
I think he's got more than a touch of the Jamie Lannister about him.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
come on, Marcus, who?
Marcus, we've been... This isn't even the first time on a World Cup show that we've had this conversation. Catch up, man. Catch up.
I won't, Jim. I want to talk about Argentina, though.
Yeah.
The team flew in on the Rolling Stones private jet to Russia. And I thought, why did England not get that?
Can I just say, a lovely start. A great entrance.
No, you know what would have been better? Maidens.
Yeah, it
would
have been.
Flown by Bruce Dickinson.
When Peter O'Toole famously came in onto a chat show on the back of a camel drinking a beer, that is the football equivalent of how you get to a World Cup.
Yeah. I thought to myself, why does Southgate not bagsy that jet? Why are Argentina getting it?
He probably didn't think of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Imagine, with all of the tone that Gareth Southgate has set, they fly out in a Rolling Stones jet.
Open the door and they're blowing...
boom, 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 yeah. Boom, 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 boom.
Open the door and Pickford rolls out with a beer. arm around Keith Richards.
Big Mick's
there. Gazza's there.
Big Mick. Mick was in the... Was it Mick at the crowd of France 98 for the Argentina game? I think he was. I think Big Mick was there. I don't know. But yeah, they're in town, Argentina. Manuel Lanzini, sadly, has had to pull out through injury. Enzo Perez has replaced him.
Sad news for Lanzini, so close to a tournament.
Yeah. Is this sad news for Javier Mascherano? Because he will be managed by Chris Coleman next season.
I think he's just trying to put that to the back of his mind at the moment. What is undoubtedly his last international tournament.
Was Manuel Pellegrini was there before him, weren't they?
Maybe a finer fortune.
Finer fortune.
But you'll never find a finer fortune than this.
I'd like to revise my views on Argentina.
Yeah?
I said that they're a little bit soft at the core, and I think...
And then you looked at the car and went, oh, this is...
I'd love a core like that.
Mike Tyson famously said, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yeah.
Marcus has always got a big chat until the tournament starts, and then he shits himself.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to... I don't think Iceland are going to keep a clean sheet against them.
No. Did you say that?
Yeah, I said it about 6 months ago, whatever it was, I think Argentina and Iceland will draw 0-0.
The front four that Argentina have taken...
Yeah.
They're not that bad.
They're not bad at all.
Higuain, Messi, Aguero and Dybala. No place for Icardi because he's unpopular.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Southgate probably would have found a way to get him to cleave him into the squad.
Well, the front three is probably going to be Aguero starting. That's the word on the street. And then Messi and Di Maria maybe either side. I fancied them to play a Christmas tree with Messi and Dybala behind the front man. Ooh. I just like the Christmas tree. Even whether it would work or not.
Sven used it.
Well, so Chelsea...
No, he was very much a 4-4-2.
Oh, yes.
Chelsea would towards the end of the season would play in sort of Willian and Pedro, or Willian and Hazard behind a striker. Mm-hmm. It seems to work all right for them.
Well, I wonder where he's going to play Mascherano. Whether it'll be in a midfield role, protecting the back four, maybe alongside Lucas Biglia, or he's going to actually play Mascherano in a back three or a back four.
I can't bloody wait to find out.
It's going
to
be good. It's going to be very, very good. But they're in a tough group, Jim.
They are in a tough group. I'm excited by Argentina. This is, you know, obviously there's a lot of talk about this. But, you know, Messi needs to win a World Cup to be as good as Diego Maradona, apparently. We
according
hear,
to Diego Maradona and the Argentinian public.
But for someone to shut up Diego Maradona is quite an impressive thing, isn't it?
So I think Messi's done enough to suggest that he's...
You think Messi's earned his place in the history books, do you?
Yeah, I think I do. Well, they're in with Nigeria, Iceland and Croatia. Croatia have got some players. Sometimes off-the-field shenanigans with their football association has hampered them. But if you remember the start they made to Euro 2016, it was like, oh, they could be dark horses. They look bloody good. And then they were beaten by Portugal, I think, in the knockouts, you know. But some players in there, Chorluka. Lovren. Lovren was in a Champions League final, young man.
Yeah, he was.
Have a bit of respect.
Yeah. I mean, you say it's a tough group. They should stroll that.
I fancied a little recall for Nico Kranjčar, even though he's not got a club. Yeah.
I think...
You're only allowed in that squad if your name ends with an I and a C. That's the only way you're allowed in that squad.
I can't see Iceland repeating what I did in Euro 2016.
No,
And I think Argentina and Croatia are... by some distance. Personally, I mean, I'll stand corrected, but by some distance, the best two teams in that group.
I would say so, but Nigeria often put up a decent showing against Argentina.
They seem to get drawn together a lot.
Did you see Daniel Amakashi did his dream Nigeria squad, and he put himself as a Messi figure.
Did he?
completely out of position.
Nice.
I'll play there.
Yeah.
You're Daniel Amakashi, mate.
I love that. I bloody love that. What about Brazil, Argentina's fierce rivals? Many people's favourites for the Cup, of course. They're in with Switzerland, Costa Rica and Serbia. Did you see Coutinho was egged by his teammates in training as it was his birthday?
I'm glad we don't have that tradition here.
We used to have it on the last day of term.
We had that. Yeah.
Either way, it's a waste of protein. They might need that in the later rounds.
Absolutely. Well, imagine that. Imagine if the nutritionist was like, well, thanks very much for that. Now we've got no eggs.
And I'm not getting any more. No. This is how you're going to behave.
No, we've got a budget.
You're not going to learn, are you?
They were farm sourced.
Yeah.
When you say that all looks rosy in the England cap, and it does,
Lionel Messi pulls out a chicken. Don't worry, boss.
Squeeze it.
Yeah. when you say that England look like they're having a good time and so on and blah, blah, blah. And it's true. When you look at the Brazil cap, you just go, they are on holiday and there's a bit of football.
Yeah, they're having an eggy time.
They are.
Everyone is backing them to win, aren't they? A huge amount of people are backing
more
them
on that later, Jim.
Yeah.
Little spoiler.
Do you think that will affect them? Because the last World Cup was such a horror show for
them. I just think they're so motivated in that. They've got such a settled side and they're so driven on by what happens to them on their own turf. That
they're not at home as well.
Yeah. I think people need to just get out of the way. Yeah, because they're coming.
And one of those people is the former manager Luis Felipe Scolari, Big Phil. He said that he believed Casemiro is Brazil's most important player. I was like, Big Phil, just
stay out of it.
Yeah, be quiet
down.
Now.
Yeah. But
he held up a Casemiro shirt as well when he said that.
Oh no, a sign that said, "Can I have Casemiro shirt?" It's interesting that that a lot of the focus about Brazil, funny enough, has been how they're a bit more defensively resolute this time around. And Big Phil saying that makes sort of ties into that, because obviously after what happened to them in Brazil last time, that's got to be the focus, isn't it? Shutting up shop.
That was psychological, though.
Oh, absolutely.
I think even if they played. A 4-5-1 in that game and packed it, they still would have been battered because they were gone psychologically. Yeah,
they need to make sure that they're so robust and resolute at the back, both mentally and tactically, that it doesn't happen again.
But this time around, this is one of the best Brazil sides I think I've seen.
I'm excited by them.
They've got quality absolutely everywhere. However, will they be able to deal with Fulham's finest, Big Mitro?
Can't stop scoring.
Serbia look good.
A hat trick in a 5-1 win against the mighty Bolivia.
Was it in La Paz? Absolutely. No, it wasn't. So it doesn't count.
Yeah, Lajic and Ivanovic with the others. They've got some players as well. So those two, Kolarov, Matic, Milivojevic, Tadic, Milinkovic-Savic. Hasn't played that much, but hopefully we'll see him because he's been phenomenal in Serie A.
I think this might be a breakthrough tournament for him. And Serbia are 6-5 to qualify from this group. Of course, they've got Brazil, Switzerland and Costa Rica. And £10 with Bet365 returns, £22 including stake. If they get out of there, and for what it's worth, I think they will.
Oh, Mitrovic at the World Cup, Peter.
Mate, I put my money where my mouth is. I put cash down with Bet365. Thank you very much for a Mitrovic golden boot.
So there we go. Love that. Love that.
The new Alan
Shearer.
I'm
on it as well. I'm on it. Well.
Who would you compare him to in international football? He was a new Alan Shearer.
It's Alan Shearer.
Still?
Well, yeah, or Aguero.
Oh, Aguero, yeah.
Aguero now. Who's strong, good on the turn.
Yeah, but Aguero doesn't actually score that many goals at the World Cup. I can't think of how many goals he's scored.
Miroslav
Klose.
There you go.
Yeah, we haven't done this World Cup, though.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's very, very true.
Neymar, surely.
There are different types of player, Jim. Come on.
That doesn't mean he can't score.
Player, mate.
He's the Serbian John Artson. Okay. let's talk about our best bet with Bet365, Luke Moore.
Yes, I'm going to be peppering these World Cup shows with best bets in an attempt to raise some money for Prostate Cancer UK, of course, and hopefully show the listeners how it's done because they've had the domestic season. I'm having the World Cup. Now, my first choice is an outright bet for who's going to win the damn thing. And I can't see past Brazil.
No.
They've got a settled side, as we said a second ago, full of quality. They've also got the motivation, as we also said. Brazil are currently 4-1 with Bet365, so £50 returns £250, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to begambleaware.org. I'll keep a record of the best bets I've chosen throughout the tournament, so we can all see how I get on. But that's my first one. Brazil to win the whole thing.
I like how you said, I've taken the World Cup. And you've earned that. You do sit back, you encourage and you nurture the listeners, and sometimes they let us down.
It's another way of saying that it's the World Cup. I've got enough admin to do. I can't read 100 emails a day as well.
Well, we've got a little bit more admin now, good man, if you're ready.
It's fun admin, though. It's fun admin.
It's the fadmin.
It's the World Cup predictions. It's the World Cup predictions.
Yes.
Talk us through the categories, Luke.
So every tournament, and of course every season as well, but specifically for the tournament, we do our predictions before the tournament starts. Mm-hmm. We seal them famously with a shiny Panini sticker.
Which we will hopefully have in just a moment.
Pete's got a special box, haven't you, Pete, to stick them in as well this time around.
Yeah.
And the categories are, I'll give you the categories quickly, then a little bit of extra exciting news afterwards. Yep. So the categories this time around are World Cup winners, mm-hmm. Dark horses, where England's World Cup ends, so the stage they are eliminated, the top scorer, the total amount of goals scored in the tournament, the total amount of cards, yellow and red cards, and a strange moment / theme / happening that takes place throughout the tournament. Now, they're the categories we're gonna guess on. And like I said, I sealed them and put them away for when the tournament finishes. Excitingly, we've now got a Football Ramble patented a version of this available on social media right now for you to download and to print out and to fill in yourself. If you seal them as well yourself, you can open them, send your videos, send your pictures, and you can show us your predictions as well, and we can maybe go through some of our favourite ones when the tournament finishes.
Get involved.
That is something for you guys to do, your World Cup 2018 predictions. Pete is now showing the box.
There's the box.
For the video that will be on our social channels later.
We got a box.
Football Ramble, at the Football Ramble.
And for the person who wins the prediction, who gets closest to the correct answers, I suppose, the things that are actually going to happen in the tournament, they win the World Cup crystal.
Wow, what a crystal that is.
I thought it was salt.
Don't need salt.
Don't do
that. All right, cool. So what's next? Stickers?
It is. Yeah. It's time to open the Panini stickers. See who's got the best five-a-side team out of the packet.
All right, who's going first, Pete?
Luke
Moore first.
Luke Moore first, come on.
No, tear it by the
first
mic.
First to worst, so sorry.
That's
a satisfying sound, isn't it?
There's the sound.
Who's going to have the best team? Here we go. So I'm popped out now. I've got first up. I've got the Senegal team.
Oh, decent.
I've got a lot of options from the bench now.
That's very good. Koulibaly at the back.
Steven Zuba. Yeah. The Swiss player, Steven Zuber, plays for Hoffenheim.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't know too much about him, I'll be honest. Celso Borges, the Costa Rican, who plays for Deportivo La Coruña.
We're still looking at the Senegal side.
Yeah,
so
I'm probably going to use them.
Yeah.
Ragnar Sigurdsson, FC Rostov's Ragnar Sigurdsson of Iceland.
All right.
And Nacho. Nacho's boosted the combination of
Koulibaly and Mane and...
I'll probably need a Senegal keeper, won't I, as well?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think it's good. So if you pull out a team, then you're away.
Yeah, there we go.
I'll go next.
All right, Petey. All right.
Nice, Pete. Nice purchase.
Good ripping, yeah.
Lovely sound.
Mamadiouf.
Mamadou Diouf. Okay. Yeah, lovely old job.
Had a difficult season.
Yeah. I was going to say, not too many goals there.
I've got the Telstar World Cup ball.
You need a ball?
It is a shiny. It's a shiny ball. Rafael Guerreiro for Dortmund, for Portugal, of course. That'll do. I mean, I've had a bit of a stinker, to be honest. I've got the Egyptian Trezeguet, you know, the one who's named after David Trezeguet, I believe. There he is. There he is with the camera. And finally, I presume he does play for Al Hilal. Salman Al Faraj.
Salaman Al Nigel Farage.
Yeah. There we go.
Pete, that's a poor side.
Yeah, that is a poor side.
But you have got the ball, so you can take it home. Next goal wins and you can take the ball home.
Jimmy.
Right, let's do this.
Have a little ripsy.
There we go.
Yeah, all down
it's
in
a beautiful
one,
sound. I'm going to keep ripping. Right, so who have we got? I have got Johan Gudmundsson.
Of Iceland.
And Burnley.
Yeah, of course. Midfield player.
Solid.
Oh, Djibril Sidibe.
Okay. Happy with that. Okay, yeah, that's all right.
France fame.
You need a French player in there. They've got a good squad.
Yeah. It's Mel Assar from Senegal. So I don't know what happens there.
Well, I've got the whole team.
You've got him in there.
So you can have him because I've got the rest of them. Right, so that's
fair enough. Sub him out. Oh, Thiago Silva.
Nice.
It's a big tournament for him. He's got to step up.
Yes,
and
set up.
Bafflingly, Mario Götze.
Oh,
not
okay.
Not at the tournament.
That's Panini's error, not ours.
Not ours, no. Oh, well, that's not a bad side, Jim.
Well, one of them literally can't play because he's not in the squad.
And there's no goalkeeper.
No.
Time for me.
I could give you the reserve Senegal goalkeeper, probably, because I've got the whole squad. So.
Thank you, mate. I'm ripping.
There we are. Ripping and the tearing.
Little ripsies. All right, what we got here then? Chapsticks. Right, I have Lozano, the Mexican player, of course, who plays for PSV Eindhoven.
Irving Lozano,
Hotly tipped.
Yeah, decent player.
He's all right. I've got South Korean midfielder Lee Jae-sung, who plays in Korea.
That's Pete's area.
So far, not so good. I've got Nastasic, who plays for Serbia and Schalke.
X-Man City, of course.
Not bad. Amar Gamal, who plays his football in a foreign country, plays for Egypt. And Raja Nangalan.
Oh, he's not in there either.
No. Yeah. So mine's not looking quite as bad.
I think I've got the worst one.
No, you haven't.
I do.
I've got a ball.
Yeah.
You need a ball.
I've got four players. None of whom are that great. I think Senegal have won it. I think Luke's got the best side there.
I'll take it.
There we go.
Well, there we are. We'll unveil our predictions, of course, after the World Cup.
That tradition.
Because that would be silly to do it before, I think.
Yeah. Mm. And do download your version of our World Cup prediction page.
Yeah, on Twitter.
Stick it on your wall in your office and go, all right, lads and lasses, it's what I'm going for.
With a copy of that day's newspaper to show that you're not cheating. at Football Ramble on Twitter, at The Football Ramble on Instagram to keep in touch with all the behind-the-scenes stuff throughout the tournament, including your World Cup prediction charts and stuff. We're bringing you 25 rambles, aren't we, Marcus,
throughout the World Cup,
including this one, and we will be back on Friday.
Lovely old job. Mm. Well, we can talk about some action that's happened at the Copa del Mundo.
I can't bloody wait.
No, I can't either. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to this World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. Of course, roll on the footer. Roll on the football. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye, Luke Moore.
Say goodbye, Jimmy Campbell.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye,
Campbell.
Pete Donaldson.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me and goodbye from London.
London, goodbye. Under pressure, yes, there's true joy. London, goodbye. Under pressure, paranoid. London, goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.